It's very interesting to me in my life as a teacher that there are some things that people get, and it is just no mystery that they get them or how they get them. And there's also a mystery that no matter how long and how hard we try to teach other lessons, those are the ones that people never seem to be able to soak in. For example, one of the things that I really never have any trouble teaching our kids about is the mystery of the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Our second graders get it. There's no problem. Everybody knows, and I think we as Catholics just have been able to absorb through all of our years of prayer that Jesus is really present in the Eucharist. That Jesus is there. Everybody understands when we pray our Eucharist that Jesus appears right there on the altar. That God is with us in this special way. That's one of those lessons that everybody seems to be able to grasp. Even when you're a second grader, you can get that, okay? Some of you might even be able to get it as kindergartners and first graders, but that's a story for a different day. But we all seem to be able to get that, all right? But the hardest lesson that I seem to be able to try to get through people's minds, and no matter how often I say it, nobody really buys it. Nobody really wants to believe it. And that is that the same way that Jesus is truly present on the altar when we have him in the Eucharist, but because of who we are as members of the body of Christ, and because of the way that we pray, when we take Jesus inside of ourselves, he's present here every bit as much as he's present there. Now, I can get everybody to come, you know, once in a while and do a Eucharistic adoration because everybody can sit back and go, oh, wow. And that's a good thing. But why can't I get everybody to look at Jesus and everybody else and go, wow? Why is that so hard for us to believe? Why is it so difficult for us to see Jesus in each other? Why don't we believe it? Because I really believe that if we believed it, we'd act differently. I really believe that if we could recognize the real presence of Jesus Christ in each other, the world would be different. The world would be a better place. You see, it's tied very much to what Jesus was trying to teach in the gospel today. Tied very much to what we heard in the first reading. You see, when Jesus came up with these two commandments, these weren't new commandments. All right? Which is one of the reasons why you're hearing it from Deuteronomy, too. All right? Love the Lord your God, the Shema. Love the Lord your God in the short version with all you are and with all you've got. Everybody knew the commandment. It's what the Jewish people teach their kids as their first prayer. They put it on their doorposts and touch it on the way into and out of the house. It was the basic prayer saying, okay, I got to remember that God is God. And I got to remember to serve him with all that I am. And then Jesus took another commandment. And this too is in Deuteronomy. It's there. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus didn't make that up. It'd been around for a while. Okay? And so all of a sudden there, Jesus gives that other commandment. But now what does Jesus do with the two commandments? He takes them and he ties them together in such a way that now we can't separate them, we who belong to Christ. We can't separate them anymore. Because Jesus basically says that all the law and all the prophets are summed up in these two things. That he is now trying to tell us is really one thing. Love of God and love of neighbor. So much so that if we wind up saying that we love God, oh, and here's the catch, but yet can't treat our neighbor decently, then we don't get it. Because Jesus is basically saying to us, you cannot do one without the other. Not the way Jesus sees it. You can't do one without the other. You can't come in here and celebrate the Eucharist and then go out there and think only about yourself. That's not the Christian way. You can't come in here and say you love God and go out there and step on the next person you come to because, well, they're not one of us, or they just don't belong to us. Do you realize how much our world does that? And do you realize how much we do that? We do it in some horrible ways. Read the news. Think what's happened in the last couple weeks. One person shot because he's black. Racism is not still alive and well among us. We want to label somebody different because they have a different skin color, or they look different than we do, or they act differently than we do. And you fill in your own other there. Fill in the group you dislike the most. And yet you're going to come in here and tell God how much we love him? The bishops of the United States are going to be issuing a new letter on racism in the next couple of months. The last statement they issued on racism was 1979, the year I graduated from high school. That was a long time ago. I know, I'm telling you, okay? And I'm, you know, when I look at that and go, and we still haven't gotten it, 40 years later. 40 years later, we still haven't gotten it. We've not learned how to recognize Jesus out here. But yet we come in here and we say we recognize him up here. There's a disconnect going on. As long as we see other in someone's behavior or in someone's age or in someone's gender or in someone's orientation or in someone's color or whatever, we are not finished with God working on us yet. Because we can't recognize God in our brothers and sisters. Look at the sin of, you know, religious discrimination in the shooting that was done in Pittsburgh. I just read, somebody was reading to me on the way home from my diversity workshop yesterday, okay? And so when he's reading that in Brooklyn, somebody had set fire to 7 more synagogues and tried to torch them. What are we doing about religious discrimination? How do we ourselves act toward people of another religion? Do you realize Catholics were some of the snottiest people on the face of the earth when it comes to the way that we're so proud of being Catholic? And I don't have any problem with you being proud of being Catholic, but whenever we really truly look at somebody else who's not and go, puh, which we do a lot, something's wrong. Do we realize that our kids don't know how to hate when they're little? They only learn how to do that from us bigger kids. They don't know how to do that when they're little. They learn it from us. As long as there are people out there in the world, and we did this as a people too, as Catholics, we've gotten better. We're still not good. But we tried to throw people out of countries before because they weren't Catholic. We've tried to, you know, burn people at the stake because they believed a little bit differently religiously than we did. We did those things. They're part of our history. Like I say, I think we've gotten smarter and kinder along the way, but we share a lot of those sins. We did them. And have we fixed them yet? Not as long as there are people out there doing that. Now, maybe you and I didn't do it, but what have we done to try to change that kind of intolerance? What have we done to make this world a little kinder in terms of religious respect and diversity? What have we done? Of course, this bumps up against our what we always say is we've got to worry about the common good. All I'm going to tell you is we're voting again on Tuesday. Now, I know that when you go to the polls, you're automatically in a compromised position. I get that. And I am not ever going to tell you how to vote. But what I am going to tell you is this. If you do not feel the tension about trying to cast a vote where you're not going to do some good and some evil, then you've not studied any of the candidates or the positions well enough. Because you cannot cast a vote for a Republican or a Democrat and feel completely morally justified that whatever you're doing is 100% A-okay with God. So if you are a Republican or a Democrat, I would ask you please to fix your party. I would ask you please to give me candidates that I might feel good about voting for. Because lately there's been a lot of this for the last few years where I've just thought, those are my choices? Really? Those are my choices? And for those of us who aren't Republican or Democrat, we're not off the hook either. Because until we get the parties to make a few differences and changes based upon the way that we think that God ought to see the world, we're not done. And here's the other thing I want to say to all of us as Catholics, because I hear this all the time, and sometimes I bite my tongue, and I probably even shouldn't, but I get so tired of hearing out of the mouths of Catholics that they're going to vote this way or that way because it's going to benefit them. Where in the scriptures today did you hear that everything we're supposed to do is just supposed to be for us? What happened to our consideration of the common good? What happened to our consideration of making some choices for the common good of all people rather than just what's going to benefit me? That is not the Catholic way. Of all the people in Christianity, we are the herd mentality. We are the group. Have you noticed all of our prayers are in the plural? We, ours, us. But yet so often I hear out of Catholic mouths, well, I'm going to do this because I don't want to do this. Do you realize how many things I do that I don't want to do, but I do them out of love for you and out of love for Jesus? When are we going to start treating each other like Christ is present in the whole wide world? When are we going to respect Jesus in each other to that degree that everybody else counts as much as I do? We are messed up. We're messed up in the way that we think, especially politically. But sometimes I worry about us as a faith, too. Because sometimes it seems like we want to bury our head in the sand and only worry about us. And what about the common good? What about the common good? I don't mind any of you taking care of you. But what about all the rest of the people in the world that matter? And if we don't consider them too, well, then I really wonder how Catholic we are. It bothers me. It bothers me that I don't hear more conversation from us about how we're going to take care of the common good. It seems to me that we don't have a right not to care. It seems to me that we don't have a right to expect to feel comfortable all the time. It seems to me that God wants more out of us. And that means from time to time we're going to have to make a few sacrifices somewhere along the way if we're going to choose for the common good rather than just what I want when I go to the polls. I got to remember my job is not just to vote for me, but to vote for what I think God wants. Yeah, I understand that we all understand that Jesus is going to be present on the altar. I understand that when we come forward, that we're going to say amen to the real presence, what we believe Jesus present in our lives. But I really think we need to learn about the other part of the mystery. And that part of the mystery is that Jesus is present in all that he has made. When are we going to start treating each other and the world like Jesus?